Good morning. This is a Wacky Talk Show. Your time is now 3:31 from the Super 79. My name is Chris Kelly, and with us tonight, we have a guest. Our guest tonight is Monica Mobley. Monica, we'll be getting into the stuff that you're doing right now, but let us go ahead and pass along to the people what the program is about tonight. And it is about vampirism. They say, geez, what is that? Okay, let's do a little bit of reading here. We can find where we left it. According to Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, vampire, and it's a, would you say it's a noun or whatever the thing says in here? Number one, it's the body of a dead person who believes to have come from the grave at night to suck the blood of persons asleep, or one who lives by preying on others, and a bunch of other yada, yada, yada. Also, a vampire has to do with a bat. There is such a thing as a vampire bat. Now, according to the New Standard Encyclopedia, aren't we intelligent tonight? We can find it here. It's Slavic in legend. A blood-sucking ghost, according to this book. The vampire's corpse was believed to renew itself by arising from the grave at night to prey upon sleeping persons. Sometimes it took the form of a bat. It sucked the blood so gently that the victim might even waste away and die without him being aware of the vampire's acts. Sometimes the victim became a vampire. Now, the vampire's work can only be halted if its coffin, according to this material, were opened and a stake was driven through the corpse's heart. Vampires were supposed to be ghosts of suicides, witches, wizards, and those cursed by the church. In Bram Stoker's novel Dracula, and its motion picture version, which came out in 1930, made the legend very familiar and might have even, I'm going to throw this in on the side, might have gotten a lot of misconceptions going. Also, the term vamp, which is short for vampire, meaning a scheming, heartless woman who lures a man to moral destruction. But that really has nothing to do with the program tonight. Tonight is our guest. We have Monica Mobley. Monica, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good.
Okay. You seem to be doing okay. Let's go ahead and pass a bunch of things along to the people. Now, Monica, you have been teaching a course. When was the last time you taught that?
In the spring of 74.
You want to move that mic up a little bit closer to you? You might pick the whole thing up and move it over there. So it was last spring.
Yes.
It was being taught at the University of Louisville. You're in Louisville, Kentucky. It was part, as far as we can understand, part of the free university course, wasn't
right.
it?
Right.
What is a free university?
Well, anyone that feels he's qualified to teach a subject gets permission from the powers that be at the U of L, gets assigned a room and teaches it. And therefore, you have a variety of subjects that normally couldn't be afforded by the curriculum.
So you have just a different sort of things. They have all kinds of courses, from what I understand, out there in different subjects.
Yes.
But yours was vampirism.
Right.
Now, according to Miss Mobley here, Monica.
Right.
Monica Mobley. Okay. She's not a vampire yourself, are you?
No.
You're just one who's interested in it.
Right. I investigate.
You investigate. How did you get interested in this subject?
When I was very young, I used to go see a lot of the spooky movies, and I started reading the literature and seeing more movies and studying it and talking to scholars who knew more about it than myself.
And that's how you got into it?
Mm-hmm.
What caused you to really pursue this? Just fascination or what?
Yes, it's extremely fascinating to me.
As we were discussing before, you seemed to give me the impression that at one point you didn't really believe.
No, I was skeptical until 1971 when there were a lot of people in my class that would come up to me and say, I'm a vampire, I need help. And they would ask me to help them try to cope with being vampire.
Okay, back to your course. What did your course encompass?
Well, it was based on my book, How to Be a Vampire in 30 Days, A Practical Guide.
Boy, I tell you what, my homework has not been done. I didn't know that was out. My apologies. Okay, it was How to Become a Vampire.
In 30 Days.
In 30 Days.
Practical Guide.
Can you give us kind of a little bit of a sketch of the book?
Well, of course. First of all, I discussed how to become a vampire, then how to select a servant, making your own coffin, different bites for poltergeists, different strokes for different ghosts, different attack methods. We had labs and discussed biting techniques.
On how to bite someone.
Right, exactly.
That's wild. That really is. What do you have to say to the people that don't believe that vampires existed?
They're lucky, because 10 chances to 1 they've probably even been attacked by them and don't realize it. Because the dictionary definition is okay of one type of vampire, that the dead reanimated body. But there are other types. There's a human vampire who hasn't died. There are astral forces that suck the life from a person. So
you want to go into that real briefly?
Well, for instance, the premature burials. They find the body all twisted and contorted, and yet they find blood in them, and they've been embalmed, and they find them years later, and they're still just like they were alive. And they have had their spirit emanating to attack these people, and they don't leave a mark on you, but they're just as effective in draining you.
Wow. That is strange. Maybe you could classify. What is the... what is a vampire? Okay, now, you say it is a person who sucks the blood of another.
Right. It's a person who needs blood to survive.
Okay, now, why do they need blood to survive? Is this a psychological thing? Or
various reasons, psychological and physical as well. They can be born this way.
Oh, really?
Right. They can spring from a different root of ancestry than we do. We supposedly normal people.
That is that's very strange. It really is. I really don't even know where to start in on this subject. It's so
a pain in the neck.
It can be a pain in the neck. I guess so. Tell me something. How many vampires or people who think there are vampires exist around the world? Do you know?
There are not. I don't have an exact figure, but I know there are fewer of the dead type of vampire left. They seem to be dying out quite literally now. And the trend is on their offspring, the human vampire, or the person who has this craving that stems from way back in the dawn of man to consume blood.
To consume blood.
Mm-hmm.
What are these, the people that you have, you know, you said you were at least just teaching the course at first. Was it just kind of a fun thing? Or?
Right, it was fun, and then it turned out to be helping a lot of people.
Did you realize when you started into this that there were actually vampires walking around?
No, I didn't. I was very skeptical, and that was the first question I would get asked in the class. Why are you teaching it if you don't believe in it? I said, some people teach evolution, and they believe in the seven-day Genesis. So I said, you know, you don't have to necessarily believe in it, but I didn't disbelieve it. I just didn't have any proof other than literary documentation. Now I have experience.
Kind of like a history book.
Exactly.
Well, okay, let us step back. We seem to be jumping around a little bit here, but you get into what made you believe, you know, that this actually existed. You said, you know, like people were coming up to you and say, hey, I need help.
Yes, and they would say, well, I'm a vampire. And one of my friends invited me to sort of a vamp-in, if that's what you call it. And everybody sat around, you know, consuming each other's blood, and they had their victims, and it was like a drive-in in reverse, you know. And I couldn't believe it. And I said, well, maybe there's something's wrong. And then it occurred to me that they had never been around in the daytime. They were all taking night courses, and so many things fit in, even the charisma about them. And I began to believe.
So at that time, that's when you got a little more serious about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Have you seen anything else? Have they ever tried to bite you? Or anything?
Oh, yes. One night I was sitting at the drive-in with this guy, and he was asking me, you know, he said, you teach that course in vampirism. I said, yes. And he said, well, have you ever thought of making a contribution? And I laughed. I thought it was really hilarious. And then I noticed that his teeth were getting longer, and he was
his teeth were getting longer.
Well, you know, there's a hormone in the pineal gland that causes, you know, it's a lycanthropic type fang that just when they're excited by the sight of blood, their teeth can get longer.
So they stick out from the gums?
Right.
I didn't know that existed.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I know. This is sort of evolution. This is fairly recent, I say within the last 500 years.
They just recently discovered this, or what?
It just recently started happening. I guess they're evolving.
So this guy tried to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
Did he succeed?
No, he did not. Oh, dear.
So that's when you started believing.
Yes.
Okay, would you say, you know, this first encounter you had, was it, you know, someone who was actually, you know, a vampire, or someone who just had delusions of being a vampire?
Well, we got home, and he told me that he would come to my bedroom, and I'd locked it up and everything, and there was a bat bumping up against my window, and I thought, well, just coincidence, but it happened for a full week. And then finally he said, well, I give up on you, but I'm going to have one of my friends who's much better at it than I am to come and get you. And he chased me for 4 years.
And he didn't succeed either.
No, he didn't. Almost four times. I have to give him that. Once a year average, but no.
Did any of the students in your class attempt to bite you?
Oh, of course, in the labs especially. That's what the point was.
Okay, explain what the lab is.
Just teaching people how to attack a person and take their blood without hurting them too much. The vampiric wedding, the family and the vampire, making your own coffin, and we would take field trips to the cemetery and things just to sort of feel out how it feels to be a vampire.
And even though some of the people in this were not vampires themselves, they were just
right, they were
persons
just
interested in taking the
and
course.
And thank goodness, because we needed a few victims, you understand.
Did people get bitten in your class?
Oh, some of them did. Purely by their own free will, though, and we were all mature people.
This is wild. It really is. So, it actually exists. A lot of people, you know, are saying, you know, well, it's just something. In the ancient times, it got started, you know, back in Scandinavia with Count Dracula flying around, and
yeah.
It's just a big myth.
Mm-hmm. It's not. It's very real.
Do these people generally let themselves be known to others as a vampire? They try to keep it secret.
Usually the authentic, quote-unquote, ones don't want to let anybody else know unless they're seeking help or unless they think you might be sympathetic when it gets to be mealtime.
How can you tell if someone is actually an authentic vampire, not just a person who has this delusion?
Very easily. They have a sort of charisma about them. They have a sort of burning, hungry look in their eye. And they're extremely attractive. They're more attractive than just being beautiful or handsome. They have a magnetism about them. You want to be, you're drawn towards them, and at the same time you feel, you know, danger, uneasy, and you want to get away from them, sort of a repulsion as well. And they're very hypnotic and can be charming, very powerful individuals.
What, is there any documented proof?
Oh, I mean, lots of it. Lots of it. Montague Summers has written, I think, 3 books about it. Rand McNally wrote In Search of Dracula with Ray Dufluorescu, who hails from Dracula as a direct descendant. And there was a Donald F. Glut who wrote
That's
The True
nice
History
name.
Of Vampires. And there have been lots of research.
Now, a true vampire never dies. Is this true?
Oh,
well, this is
the spirit doesn't really die and rest, but the corporeal form can end.
So the body can die.
Right.
We were speaking before that you had come across some, you know, like birth certificates and fingerprints and stuff.
Right, that go on past 100 years or more of age.
How old do they appear to be?
Well, what happens is that when they reach their prime, they just stop. When they're most attractive, and they just don't change.
Really?
Exactly.
They just live forever.
Eternally, yes. And what can happen if they are already dead is that they'll start aging if they don't get the right amount of blood.
You mean after they're already dead, they can come back?
Yes, exactly. They die and then they come back and they're more powerful because you can't really kill them. And, you know, everybody, you see Van Helsing drive the stake home and, oh, he's destroyed. But the most recent addition is a mascot. And all you do is have a couple of little ritual ceremonies, sort of, not really worshiping, but respecting and honoring your mascot. And he sees to it that the stake is pulled out, or if you get burned, that your ashes are lined up in a coffin and blood poured over it, and you come back, and you just don't even have to worry about it.
Okay, what is a mascot? Is it another person?
A blood-drinking insect or animal. Anyway, you can have, like, the vampire bat.
Yeah.
And you get an amulet with the, you know, and the ring and wear it. And these are very powerful items. And then you set up a little statue of them. And twice a year you have your little ceremony. And for this, they take care of you if anything should happen.
Is this similar to a religion in certain ways?
It can be or it can't be. There are some people who do it as a form of worship. And then there are those who just thirsty.
Well, how does this, you know, a lot of people, you know, say this has something to do with satanic powers or Satanism.
Not necessarily. It can be used as that type of expression, but for the most part, it's not really meant to be evil. These people can't help themselves.
Yeah, it's just a compulsion that
it's like drug addiction, you know.
That they have to have blood.
Right, they just gotta have it.
How much blood do they normally need?
Well, the older they are, the more that they need. I'd say if you were 100 years old, you would need 3 pints a night, or at least every other night.
3 pints a night?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you have to bite to get 3 pints?
Well, there are about 10 to 12 pints in the normal human being, so you can get it all from one, or you can hit 3 people for 1 pint each. Which is better than you can have a meal at sunset, which would be breakfast, midnight, lunch, and just before dawn for supper.
There have been, you know, like rumors going around the Kentuckiana area that there have been. Now, I can't say this is fact. This is just one of the things that get passed along, you know, from person to person.
Grapevine.
And distorted. That there have been people found in this area with holes in their necks dead.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about it? I shouldn't ask you that.
Well, consider the motion picture, The Night Stalker. I don't know if you saw that.
But I didn't happen to see that one.
These 4 women were killed, and they were drained of blood, and one of them was killed on sand, and there were no footprints leading to her. And how they thought she was drained of blood by somebody who didn't make footprints. And the papers just put that they had been killed by a mad killer, and just sort of, you know, it's always subverted, because it really would create a panic. Anybody who investigated it would be considered a kook for even considering it.
Yeah, don't call the police. They'll think you're a nut.
Right, and if they didn't, you know, what would you respect a cop that went around looking for vampires?
I'm sure a lot of people would have extreme difficulty in doing this. I'm not really going to take a stand one way or the other. It's just, you know, we're just having a conversation tonight trying to find out what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't say what I would do if someone tried to bite me. Does it hurt the person necessarily if they're bitten by a vampire?
Not if it's done right. The most that can happen, there's hypnotic in the saliva and the serum to keep the blood from clotting, and it sort of helps the pain as well. You don't feel a thing except the bite, the teeth going into the neck.
Do they necessarily have fangs now?
No, they don't have to have fangs.
They just bite you.
And they don't have to leave 2 little puncture marks. It can be just a slit. It can be on the wrist or wherever. And it can cause very pleasurable sensations, I've heard also. So that it's rather like making love more than being bitten.
An erotic type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Does Okay, speaking of the victims, what is generally their response? Have you run into many victims?
Usually they don't even remember it. There was a girl in one of my Spanish classes, and every other day she would have the symptoms. And I would say, oh, you know, what happened last night?
Well,
you know,
wait a minute, the symptoms.
Of being bitten by a vampire.
What are the symptoms?
Oh, paleness. At first you're really very, very hungry, can't get enough to eat. Then after a while you get so that food doesn't satisfy you, you crave a special liquid diet. You get so that you like the nighttime better than the daytime. Yeah, you know.
Wait a minute. Don't talk about me.
Or pain on your neck, you know, the marks of it. And I could see the symptoms, and I would ask her, you know, what happened to you last night? Who's doing this to you? And she'd say, oh, nobody. And so finally I met this handsome guy that she was going with, and she talked to him about it, and he said, oh, no. Well, she was in the hospital in May, treated for severe pernicious anemia, which she doesn't really have. She's just been a donor too much, I'm afraid. He wasn't careful whether he should have varied his victims.
I'm making my neck itch. does a person, you know, do you believe that a person necessarily, you know, like, will become a vampire after mm-hmm. being bitten?
Not necessarily. It depends on the vampire that bites them. If his serum is cursed, then he can, you know, anybody he bites. If he sold his soul to the devil, then he has to concentrate an effort, you know, and want the person to. Otherwise, when a human vampire bites you, forget it. If you don't want to become, you know, the type that lives for eternity and everything, it's not contagious that way.
Can you become a vampire if you want to?
Oh, of course. I have a special plan just for you. No, seriously.
Help.
Send help. There are several ways you can become a vampire. You can be the victim of someone who wants you to be, and they can have the power to do so. You can sell your soul to the devil, commit suicide, become excommunicated. Supposedly, if a cat or a dog jumps over your grave before your body's in it, it means that you're doomed to wander. If you are a really strong personality and you feel that you've really been done in by somebody, you can come back. And then there's the Wordalack, which is a favorite of mine that only preys on its family. And they, you know, the family knows that when anybody dies, there goes the whole neighborhood. Seriously.
Now, how much? Now, I hate to put you on the spot. I don't want to sound
just don't put me on
skeptical.
Stage.
I like to be. Oh, how much of this do you actually believe?
Just
you know, we were talking
about,
you know, mm-hmm. different ways people become a vampire.
Exactly.
But would I become a vampire as of such if I just walked out here to the studios and grabbed somebody on the River City Mall and bit them on the neck? Would I instantly become a vampire?
No, a pervert. No, seriously.
A pervert.
No, that's... But you can very easily acquire a taste for blood if you do drink it.
That's the sight of it makes me faint. I cut my finger.
Well, you know, there's a joke about that.
Like
where Dracula was, he said he would hate the sight of blood, and the psychiatrist told him, don't look at it, just drink it.
Wow. So those were the methods that you become a vampire. Do you find many people that want to become vampires? Most mm-hmm. of the people in your class, they just...
I find a lot of them that do. They want eternal life, or they want the powers of a vampire, to be able to hypnotize people, to live forever and be young, to have the strength of 20 men, to be able to change into a bat or a wolf, or to command the elements. And it can be very attractive to some megalomaniacs.
Or do you find many people that just...
A lot of people want to be vampire victims, too. It's a sadomasochistic type.
You mean there are people walking around the streets of Louisville right now wanting to be a victim?
Right.
Why would they want that?
It's a very pleasurable experience. If you're ever attacked, sometimes you want more.
You want more?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You enjoy being bitten?
Mm-hmm. Just as long as they don't bite off more than you can chew, quite frankly.
Oh, Monica, I understand you're forming a group, at least according to this newspaper article here.
Mm-hmm.
A group called the
Draculean Occult Association.
Okay.
DOA for short.
DOA.
Mm-hmm.
What is that group going to consist of?
Oh, vampires and victims that want to study and, well, not only study, but be creative about vampirism. Plays, movies, and novels, and just sort of a literary society.
Do the actual and true vampires actually want all this publicity, or would they?
Oh, it's not really that. I don't publicize the fact that they're vampires. You know, you don't know who the vampires are and who the victims are in the group, and it's very highly selective. Right now, I've had about over 800 applications, and we have under 50 members. So
you're very
really
picky about who
exactly.
you let in.
Exactly.
Now, how do you control a group of people like this when you're not a vampire yourself? But
with a crucifix, of course.
Does that work?
Or with a rosary. Unless they're Jewish, then it takes the Star of David.
If somebody is about to bite you,
mm-hmm.
what is the best way to prevent it?
Just to act like you're going along with it and then run and get in with other people might help. If they're really determined to get you, though, usually you get got unless you're specialized in escaping like me.
Wow.
And if they're really smart about it, you don't even know it. You know, you're just walking down the street by yourself or something, and the next thing you know, you're bitten, and then you're walking down the street by yourself, and you don't even remember it. Fade out.
Just because they hypnotized you or
mm-hmm.
what?
Exactly.
Wow. I keep saying wow, but this whole discussion is, quite frankly,
making
amazing.
Making a deep
me.
Impression on you?
It's leaving an impression. In fact, I've got impressions all over me. They're called goosebumps. Does if you wear a cross, will this prevent a person from being bitten by a vampire?
If they're Christian. If they're Christian, it's a sort of guilt syndrome. If they're Jewish, it takes a Star of David.
But by showing this to a vampire, they'll mm-hmm. leave you alone.
Unless they're the impressionistic vampire. And this is the type of person that has a particular hang-up, or fetish, if that's what you'd prefer to call it. You have to find out what that is to bother him. Maybe the only thing that would bother him would be a girdle. You know? You'd have to pull out
Boy,
a girdle. And
I feel like I've been locked up in a mental institution tonight. Wow. Oh. I'm not putting you down.
Oh,
it's
I
just,
understand.
Gosh, I have no idea what we're getting into. Okay, let's continue. So that is one of the methods by which you can prevent yourself from being bitten is to either show a cross or show
exactly.
your girdle.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is that
turns them off.
It turns them off. Yeah. You've heard of turn-ons, or you're looking for a turn-off in that instance. Do you feel endangered by these people?
No.
Or do you feel comfortable around them?
No, because I know about them. It's the people that don't know that are really endangered, and they're not endangered unless they come across a peculiarly evil individual.
Yeah. Is this age-old legend of striking, putting a, a silver stake or a stake through the
heart? Oh, it doesn't have to be silver. They're so expensive. Silver bullets supposedly in the stake through the heart with, you know, the hammer, and you're supposed to try one blow and then cut off the head.
Well, this would work on just about anybody, though.
It certainly would. It's, except that
vampire,
all you have to do is burn the body, put the ashes in their coffin, pour a little blood in, and voila, there's the vampire right back. And all your hard labor trying to get the stake in. And I also advocate wearing gloves so you won't get splinters.
Oh, so there's no, at least in your opinion, there's no way to
completely destroy a vampire.
Destroy a vampire. Can't be done. What gives them this power? Where does this power come from?
It's sort of an astral, supernatural type of power.
Is it well, you know, like
it
some
can
of the
be
occult
satanic,
will,
or it cannot be satanic. It can
or
be
maybe
just
a demon
like
or
energy, universe energy.
And they learn
really
to tap
defined.
This, and this is where it comes from.
Exactly.
We pause here to say this is WAKY in Louisville, Kentucky. This is our talk show this morning. Our person on here with us is Monica Mobley. She's been teaching a course on vampirism at U of L here in Louisville. And I understand you are going to be teaching this at Brown University.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Can we switch sides?
Oh, a fellowship.
Oh, a fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between a class and a fellowship?
Well, I'm going on for my master's, and I just graduated from U of L. And Brown gave me a fellowship out of the clear blue sky, and so I decided to take it. Plus, I need a change of scene. The blood's getting pretty thin around. Just a little new blood for my investigations, if you understand.
I guess you've heard all the puns. Oh.
The more, the merrier, you might say.
Yeah, so you're going to be out at Brown University. You didn't get your master's in vampirism, did you?
Oh, no.
What did you get your master's in?
I'm getting my master's. I got a B.A. in Spanish and English from U of L.
So otherwise, you're a pretty much a normal person. But I guess on this subject, I doubt if there are many people around here that could talk as intelligently on the subject.
Dear. Except the people who've been there, quote unquote.
But you don't hear much from them. Why is that?
They're shy about it. It's not considered the norm. They're considered deviants. And I was just saying, you know, how would we feel if to eat meat was wrong and drinking blood was considered okay? You know, you wouldn't run up to some guy and say, what a steak I had last night, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Whereas they might see each other and say, oh, the neck on Sally Walker, you know.
I've heard quotations of, well, in the article, did it not say that they were, what was the number it quoted in here, or did it not? There was some certain number of vampires that mm-hmm. you knew existed in this area. How many do you know of?
400.
400.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk around biting people every day.
Mm-hmm. There are some that, like, try to work in blood banks, but that doesn't, it's not really the same.
Do these people ever get in trouble with the law?
Sometimes they do, and usually they're considered mental cases and locked up for a while, and then they let them back out and they go back to their business.
Because I've run into a couple of people in other towns, you know, that mm-hmm. believe they were vampires or mm-hmm. actually, you know,
and a lot
perform
of times
some
they
of the
don't
acts.
Have to get in trouble with the police because they can find so many people who are willing to help them out.
Just because of this charisma they have.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
This magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't always kill their victims. Sometimes they...
No. Sometimes they hit you and you don't even know what bit you.
What about the ones that do kill their victims?
That sort of bothers me. It really does. Because it's not fair.
Sort of bother anyone. What is the... What would you say is the percentage of mm-hmm. vampires that actually, you know, take the life of their victim? And why do they do
less
that?
Less than 2%, I would say. Less than 2%.
Why do
you wouldn't
they do
get
it?
By with it for long.
Why is that? Because
the police really catch up
with you.
Mm-hmm. And people go in when they, you know, people keep getting killed. They go in and they put up their garlic or whatever, and that's it.
They put up their garlic?
Yeah, it repels vampires.
Wait a minute. Now, that's one I haven't heard.
Oh, yes.
Garlic will repel a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Also, the wild rose, but garlic is more effective. Of course, it repels everybody, but that's just a little handicap you have to take.
They cannot stand to be around garlic, huh?
Exactly. So if you hate someone and you know they're a vampire, send them a garlic pot pie.
That'll take care of
mm-hmm.
them. That is really wild. I'll tell you what, Monica, why don't we go ahead and see what happens when we open up the telephone lines here. Let me pass the numbers along to the people. They're 583-8803 mm-hmm. and 589-WAKY. And if you're calling...